Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. Today, we're going to be talking about leadership, and that's our focus, and specifically around encouragement. I think this is a lost art in a lot of organizations. I think that there's some really great leaders who do this well. And for those leaders who are doing this well and the organizations who really encourage their people, you see it in the results. You see it in highly engaged employees. You see it in both the bottom line and the top line and what they're doing. And you see it in how they make an impact in their communities and how they serve their customers. But there are a lot of people that don't get encouragement. And I don't think anybody today would say, I am suffering from too much encouragement. Please stop encouraging me. I think that we all need encouragement, that we would all love more encouragement, and that we would really appreciate leaders who do that. And we need to be leaders who encourage and know how to do it in an authentic, timely, and specific way. And I think that's very important. I was talking to a group of leaders, student leaders at Baylor University recently, and we talked about that, how it's not just, hey, you're great or you're doing a good job, but to be specific, to be timely and authentic in how you give encouragement. I think being specific about how somebody did a job, or I know with people that used to, on some projects that have worked for me in the past, I've said things like, that was great when you redirected that question to the client, or it was a great way to summarize the essence of our meeting, to be very specific about things they're doing well. Because a lot of times people walk out of a meeting and they think you're pleased with them, but they don't know exactly what they did well. And to reinforce those things are very important. I remember some leaders that I saw in some organizations that I worked with when I was first coming into the workforce, who basically their feeling about encouragement, well, I signed their paycheck, so that means I like them. If something changes with that, they'll know. And that was basically their form of leadership, which was a very bad form of leadership. And they definitely didn't believe in encouragement, at least not for things that they felt like they were, quote, paying them for. I think, again, being specific is very important. Being timely in that encouragement as well, and giving positive feedback and constructive feedback in a timely way. It's very important. You can't just wait 6 months or wait a year and then say, hey, you're doing a great job. I think you've got to make sure that you do it in the moment and do it in a timely way so that they understand and connect how you feel about them and how you feel like they're doing to a specific event, to a specific performance, and basically just building or any kind of relationship, because this, what we're talking about today, applies in personal relationships as well. And then I think in an authentic way, it can't be fake. It needs to come from your authentic voice to really be received, because if it's not authentic, then people are just going to blow it off. They're just going to say, well, that person just says that to everybody. I think being authentic and combined with being specific and timely can really root your encouragement in a way that's going to help them perform better. It's going to feel like they're going to feel great about what they've done so far, and they're going to be highly engaged in pursuing their purpose and passion in life. Great leaders build up and encourage others, and the word encourage is interesting. It comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. And so when you encourage somebody, that's really, you're literally giving heart to that person. It invigorates them. It makes them think that they can conquer anything. It makes them think about possibilities and think about strengths and gifts and talents and opportunities that they have. And even in the midst of fear, even in the midst of bad circumstances and setbacks, when you encourage somebody, that gives them a mind or spirit that enables them to face difficulty, danger, and pain without fear, and to have faith in the moment. I think there are three or four things that are really important also in encouragement and how you do it, and principles of encouragement. And I think the first thing is that we have to communicate four critical words that are often left by the wayside. And those four words are, I believe in you. I believe in you. And this, in the best leaders that we've seen that have done this well, Communicate it both verbally and non-verbally. When you go into an organization, you see people performing at their highest levels. You see a sense of belief and trust amongst people and amongst the team, and also amongst the leader and the people that that person is leading. But also great leaders not only do it in just the way they do it, in giving responsibility and control and trust in certain circumstances, certain tasks, that's how you do it non-verbally, but also saying it. And saying it not only those words, I believe in you, but specifically pointing to why you believe in them. And when you do that, you're being truly authentic, you're being specific, and hopefully doing that in a timely way that you communicate belief and trust in them and point out ways that they've done that before and how you believe they're going to do it in this moment as well. I love the quote by Jim Kouzes and Barry Posner from a book called The Leadership Challenge, which is one of my favorite books on leadership. They say, encouraging the heart then is about the dichotomous nature of leadership. It's about toughness and tenderness, guts and grace, firmness and fairness, fortitude and gratitude, passion and compassion. Leaders must have courage themselves, and they must impart it to others. And I love the balance that they talk about around that, fortitude and gratitude, guts and grace, firmness and fairness. Because I think we think about encouragement, and some leaders I know do this, think about encouragement as a soft word. And when we talk about that with groups of executives, sometimes they think about encouragement being soft. But the reality is it's a strong word, and also it's something that's very hard to do for some people. It's hard for them to find a way to encourage people. And then there are great leaders out there who it just comes natural for them. And they do it in specific moments that make people perform at their best and help people perform at their best. I think, you know, you ought to think about who in your life has encouraged you and also how has that made you feel. And then this week, this month, think about how can I communicate the words I believe in you, both verbally and non-verbally, to other people. And so that's one aspect or one principle of encouragement. Another principle of encouragement is to focus on clear standards within your organization. I think when people know about what's expected of them, then they're going to rise to the occasion on that. And it's also easier to hold people accountable to that and encourage them in an authentic way because you've talked about what excellence looks like. You've talked about, here's what we're about from a core value standpoint. And you've set standards and set some things in place that then you can say, not only is this the high standard of excellence that we have in this organization, but also I believe in each and every one of you to go out and accomplish this. And here are the gifts and talents that you have to be able to make that a reality. So making sure that we're clear about what excellence looks like and then being able to encourage them into that and also encouraging them for that because they're helping them to raise the they're helping to raise that standard of excellence as well. A third principle of encouragement is to expect the best for and from people. To expect the best for and from people. We all expect the best from people if we're running a business, if we're in a position of leadership. But great organizations expect the best for their people. And what that looks like is that they create an environment where people can thrive, that they help them see the best in themselves and in other people, and they create an environment that's focused on expecting the best for them, putting them in a position of success, and then expecting the best from them because you've done the things that are going to help them perform at their best and create the excellence that you're pursuing in any endeavor that we're focusing on as a business, as an organization, as a family, whatever that might be. A couple of quotes I wanted to share with you. Reggie Jackson, the great Hall of Fame baseball player, said, "A great manager forces you to have a good opinion of yourself. He lets you know he believes in you. He makes you get more out of yourself. And once you learn how good you really are, you never settle for anything less than your very best." When I think about the best mentors, the best leaders that I've had in my life, they've almost, maybe not necessarily forced me, but at times when I've been down or looking at how I haven't done something or maybe a failure or setback that I've encountered, They've forced me to have a great opinion of myself based on, again, strengths and gifts and talents and things maybe I've accomplished in the past to help encourage me to look towards a brighter future. And I think great leaders do that. They it may take forcing somebody to understand what the best thing about them is, their strengths, their gifts, their talents, and the way that they lead, the way that they're able to contribute to the greater good of what you were trying to accomplish in an organization. And when you realize that, when you really get a hold of that, realize when somebody's telling you that, it's the truth, and it's based on fact, and it's authentic, then it allows you to raise your game, and you never settle for anything less than your very best, because you know somebody believes in you, and the things that they see in you that you need to see for yourself as well. Another quote by Pete Thigpen that relates to this, he was a CEO, director of Executive Reserves, says, really believe in your heart of hearts that your fundamental purpose, the reason for being, is to enlarge the lives of others. Your life will be enlarged also, and all of the other things that we've been taught to concentrate on will take care of themselves. I love that, because in the last half of that quote, all the other things he was talking about, performance and financial results and serving customers and the things that a business is in place for to make an impact, but also to make money so that they can make an impact. He was saying all those other things will take care of themselves if we focus on enlarging the lives of other people and doing meaningful work. I think this is very important on an individual level as well, because we tend to worry about some of those things that are important. We need them to sustain us. We need finances to sustain us. We need finances to be generous. We need a job to be able to provide for our families. But also, if we focus on a greater mission of enlarging the lives of other people through whatever we do, then I think our life will be enlarged and those other things will tend to take care of themselves. I love also the quote from Benjamin Zander, final quote for this, and expecting the best for the people. And I share this a lot in the leadership workshops that we do. Benjamin Zander is the conductor, or was the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. And he said in his great book, The Art of Possibility, I set as a goal the maximum capacity that people have. I settle for no less. I make myself a relentless architect of the possibilities of human beings. I mean, there's just some great meat there, some great gold in that quote. And setting as the goal the maximum capacity that people have, that's believing the best about them. That's seeing what their potential is. It's seeing that in them and not being overbearing in that process, but seeing what they can produce and what they're able to do and the impact they're able to make. And then making, he says, I make myself a relentless architect of the possibilities of human beings. That's not just settling for the bare minimum or thinking less of people or having a very low standard. A relentless architect is somebody who is constantly working towards helping somebody thrive and reach their potential and unleash their potential in whatever they're doing, whether it be sports or school or business or life. And then that idea of an architect, being able to design that, to contribute to that as a leader and be able to help that person and say, what are your opportunities? You know, what are you most proud of? How can I help? How can I help remove roadblocks or set you up for success? And being a relentless architect of the possibilities of human beings. And as you think about, you know, not just the human being race, I guess, as he's talking about all people, but as you just think about the people that you're responsible for this week, are you being a relentless architect of their possibilities, of the possibilities that they can achieve individually and collectively? And how can you be that? How can you be a relentless architect for their success? Are there specific things that you can do to encourage them, to give them feedback on things, to share information with them, to remove roadblocks for them, and to provide sponsorship with them? Those are some very tangible ways as a leader that you can make yourself a relentless architect of the possibilities of human beings and to the larger principle that we're talking about in this third principle, expecting the best for them and from them. And then a fourth principle that I wanted to share with you is to notice and recognize contribution and achievement. To notice and recognize contribution and achievement. It was really interesting to me when I entered the workforce to see people who sometimes wouldn't give recognition or notice contribution and recognition towards people who had contributed to the results or a presentation or the success of a project. They would either not mention it or they would take credit for that. And if a presentation was good, then they were taking all the credit for that, even though a lot of people had contributed to the research and maybe the development of that. And then sometimes when the presentation went bad, the same person was very specific about who did what, and well, that was this person's area, and they, you know, were definitely sending out blame versus noticing them when they did well. So that's not the type of leader that we want to be. I think it's important as a leader that we notice and recognize contribution and achievement. And again, don't also get into this mindset of that crusty old leader that I talked about who just was signing the paychecks, and that was the way they said that they encouraged him, they cared for him and all of that, and thanked him for their contribution. I think we need to go beyond just paying people, and it's recognizing when they contribute, how they contribute, and why that contribution was important. And for an organization that's really trying to live out their core values, that's the best way to reinforce the core values and to reinforce what you're about as an organization. It's when you say, that was great when you did this, and that's what we're about, and we need to do more of that, and it would be great, and we make an impact when we do that. And telling stories and recognizing people, both individually and as a team, really uplifts their strength and their confidence in what they're doing, but also allows them to tie it to the core values that you're trying to create within an organization. I love what Andrew Carnegie said. He said, when gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But one doesn't go into the mine looking for dirt. One goes into the mine looking for gold. And as we round out these principles of, you know, communicating, I believe in you, to focusing and identifying and recognizing clear standards of excellence and echoing that and telling people when they've done that. When we expect the best for and from people, and when we notice and recognize contribution and achievement, that's when we're truly encouraging the people that are around us, whether it be in your family, in churches that you go to, in the community that you work in or do volunteer work in, as well as the people that you're responsible for at work as well. And I want to encourage you to go out and be an encouragement to other people this week and to think about, how can I contribute to their success? How can I help them accomplish their goals? And how can I maximize their potential by encouraging them, by literally giving heart to them in what they're doing, what they want to do with their lives, and their broader purpose and passion in life. Hope you have a great week. Thanks so much for the things that you do in the sphere of influence that you have. And let's go out and just make a difference, being leaders today, being leaders who encourage and give their best to their people so that they can give the best within their sphere of influence as well.